your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and we are dialing up the shenanigans this week. We have a lot of guide episodes that I've scheduled for, like, the next 2 months. Basically, I think I've laid this out on here, but my child is going to preschool in September. When that happens, I'm getting exponentially more hours of childcare than I have had the past 2 years. I'm going to have, like, truly, like, a day and a half more than I used to have, where I have time to, like, I don't know, like, see a friend or, like, finally buy sneakers because mine are wearing all the way through. Like, I have so much free time just around the river bend that I'm so close to. And then once I hit that, I'm going to be pummeling you with theme park advice. We're talking updated guides. We're talking big researched episodes. Like, those are coming. But, you know, it's summertime. And until then, we're just going to have fun. So I did toss aside an episode again. So that we can do just a fun, silly one that is actually extremely helpful. Because I think sometimes some of us end up in a position where we're at theme parks casually a lot. Maybe you move and you become an annual pass holder. Maybe you look at the ticket prices and you become an annual pass holder. And you just end up spending a little more free time at parks. Or maybe you have a day where you have lightning lanes and you have a day where you don't. And you're kind of trying to figure out what you should do on the days where you're not bound to a ride return schedule. And that is what we're doing this week. Just a little easy Disney episode, real cash, real cool, because this is how I'm approaching the trip that by the time you listen to this, I will have just done a little Disney World trip and then be doing one more on the other end. I'm going on a cruise. I'm excited. Packing for it, not fun. I am getting through it. It's like, truly, it's like an ADHD escape room to pack. Y'all who know, it is very, very difficult, but we are getting through it. Truly, if I could pack easily and I could form an editorial calendar, I would be thriving. But I can't, and so I will just, you know, power up my strengths of just being kooky on a microphone. As for that, I really don't think anything else is happening in my life. I think that's about it. Yeah, but I'm about to travel. I'm doing a big trip. So basically, here's the trip. By the time you're listening to this, I will have spent the weekend in Chicago visiting family. Grandma's 95th birthday. She turned 95. My mom's mom. Isn't that exciting? Then I'm hopping to Disney World for a couple of nights. Then I'm going on a Royal Caribbean cruise, which I'm extremely stoked about, by the way. I actually was going to do a ton of research about the layout, and I thought, you know what? It's probably better if I just go in and just be wowed by it in person, because I want to give you genuine reaction and genuine advice. I don't want to, like, go in as though I know everything already, because then I might, like, lose some things through the cracks and giving you my full take on what it was like. So I'm going in fresh. I'm going in fresh, and I don't really know what to expect, and it's very exciting. And then after that cruise, I'm spending one last day at Disney World to just kind of decompress before I fly home the next day. So you will hear about that next week. But until then, that's the travel that I am packing for. And I'm trying to do it in one suitcase, and it's very tricky, but I am committed to it. We'll find out if I pulled it off by next week. But anyway, this is our easy Disney episode. I'm not going to hold you any longer. Stay tuned for some great deals from Mouseman Travel, and then I'll see you on the other side. I am so excited to see you, as usual. But also, there are deals that you know about that I don't, that I just found out about from you, that we need to share with people. Like, this is our public service. We need to let people know that they can save big all money.
You have no idea. This never happens. And speaking of stuff that never happens, Disney Cruise Line does not run offers. You might see one or two here or there that's like 50% off deposits, or, you know, little things to try to have something to talk about out there. But they have gone somewhere that we have not seen them go in a long, long time. Right now, you can get on, of course, the available select sailings on the Magic, Wonder, Dream, Fantasy, and Wish.
That's a lot of ships. By the way, there's a lot of ships to have discounts on.
Exactly. For between October 3rd and March 30th. So there's a big window here for anybody who can travel in that window. You can save 50% off your third and fourth guests in the same stateroom. I have not seen this offer in years. So if you're a family of four, two people in the room can save up to 50% off their cruise fare, which is mind blowing.
That's bananas. I also want to mention, if you're like, I wouldn't be traveling with children, but maybe I can get a gaggle of friends together as an adult. I slept on the couch on the Disney Wonder for the entire sailing, and it was totally fine. So if you want to jam a bunch of adults in and save that money, I'm co-signing it and saying, go right ahead.
I mean, totally, because this is not just kids, and that's what a lot of people thought. Oh, this is the kids off. No, this is anybody. There are a couple of things. First, it has to be booked by October 12th of this year, and it's not valid on suites. So, of course, if you have a suite, that's not going to work there. But all other categories between 4A and 11C, it is. However, the other thing that's really interesting about it, is valid on new and existing bookings that meet the criteria. So if you're booked in that window on one of these sailings, and of course, it's not every single sailing. You do have to kind of look at the dates to make sure that the date applies. But just, I'm still in shock that they're doing this big of an offer right now. And again, it's for sailings on those ships between October 3rd and March 30th for specific sailings only.
That is huge. And Blair, my travel agent and master travel, you will be hearing from me because that is in the window of Pearl's third birthday.
Oh, perfect.
Anyway, I don't want to keep harping on cruise. There is so much exciting happening there, but you also have some huge Disney World news.
Oh my gosh, Disney World just added a little bit, because we were talking that they've had that save up to 20% on rooms for the holiday season. That is for most of those nights, Sunday to Thursday, October 12th to November 20th. And then of course they kind of skip over Thanksgiving, so you can't take advantage of that, but November 23rd all the way to December 25th. So that's that 20-
All the way to December 25th?
Yes, all the way up to December 25th. And that is for that 20% off, up to 20% off, sorry. But what they did is they added another little carrot that you cannot refuse. When you upgrade to a room and ticket package that includes a 4-day or longer standard theme park ticket, right? You can get a dining and shopping promotional card that can save you or give you up to $100 if you're in a deluxe or a villa resort, $75 in a moderate, and $50 promo card for packages at value resorts.
So crazy. Disney World is straight up handing out money.
Yes, pretty much. Come here, have fun, eat some stuff on us. Here's your $100 gift card and go have a crazy time.
The fact that we're getting this when it's not so humid, you want to melt into a puddle?
The best.
Unreal. Time. Thank you so much for this, Becky. And stick around for our next chat, because there is a Universal Orlando offer only Becky has. You can only get this through Mouse Fan Travel. So stick around. We will be back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome back. This week, we are attempting to make Disney World and Disneyland an easy place to visit. Yeah, it's a tall order, but as an annual pass holder on both coasts, who is also kind of a drill sergeant with a schedule whenever I visit, I have seen it from both ends, the stressed end and the calm end, and I have really come to cherish those easier, free-flowing days that I tend to have at the parks. Truly, we can talk about lightning lane strategy until we are blue in the face, but you know what? Sometimes having an open-ended day at a Disney park is peak joy, and I want to help encourage you to carve out a little time in your trip to just be there. I keep winding up on these very casual Disneyland days, or like cobbling together a last-minute Disney World visit with a handful of goals but no real schedule. And I'm here to tell you it is possible to have a great time without riding the star attractions that are en vogue at the moment. Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind is great, but you know what else is great? Not having to be anywhere at a specific time on your vacation. Because really, what's better than being in a park and just enjoying it? So this week, I'm going to kind of take you inside the dark ride that is my brain when going to these places. It's a little like that you know, that tipping point in Spaceship Earth where it's cavernous and like slightly dusty and Lord knows what's under those tarps. It's a little spooky scary like that, like all the lights are going out, but we're going to find our way through at the end, just like we do on that ride. So whether you have a last minute trip ahead or just kind of want to keep a mental list of things that are easy to access between Lightning Lane reservations, consider this your non-guide guide to my favorite things at Disneyland and Disney World that require no planning. Starting with the seas. The seas at Walt Disney World. We are sleeping on the seas, people. And I know I just said this about Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge, and I'm very animal-centric this month. I don't know what that's about. But we never talk about the seas. We never praise the seas. And yet, this is an entire area of Epcot that is just a bona fide, incredible aquarium. It's apparently the 9th largest aquarium in the world, and it's included with your park admission? There is so much to look at and do in this area of Epcot. And if you really think about it, like, going to an aquarium is a whole separate trip, a whole separate ticket, and here, it is part of your day. I mean, the aquarium near me, like the good aquarium, the one in Long Beach, is $45 a person. And when you kind of look at it through that lens, doesn't it feel like you get a bonus attraction with your Epcot ticket? And they have their own dark ride? If this was in another city, like if I lived in a city with the seas on its own, I would go every 3 weeks. I would be going nonstop. And also, there's always something new to discover there. Like, did you know there's a scuba experience in that nearly 6 million gallon aquarium? And you don't need park admission to do it? I do think you have to know how to do scuba. I didn't want to look into it too much because then I would be really, really enticed to learn scuba, and I don't like being underwater. It's just not for me. I don't like the breathing apparatus. It's not my vibe. But how freaking cool that you can just go and scuba dive in a tank at a theme park. It's called Dive Quest, if you're familiar, if you're not. And I guess I've just been sleeping on it because my only memory of being inside the tank is one, when Scuba Mickey swims, which I've never seen with my own eyes. And oh my God, I wish I could. And then also because whenever I think of the tank in the seas, all I think about, like the memory of the tank, all it rouses in my brain is that moment in Full House where they went to Disney World and then they recorded inside the tank. Not because that would be a dream come true that they would never let any mere mortal do, only Uncle Jesse. But how cool that you can go in that tank as a person. They got an area with jellyfish, which was very fun when Pearl was little. Like, they've got manatees. They've got so many creatures there. And we're just kind of like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like, I think it's because the lighting is dim in there that it's not beloved as much as it should be. But the seas, we got to stop sleeping about the seas. How cool that that's there. Oh, incredible. I mean, it's really incredible. Next up on my list of favorite things to experience at Disney that requires no planning, a quick service restaurant with a good view of water. That's the goal, and that is the dream, especially at Walt Disney World. A restaurant inside a theme park that's easy to order from and has a stellar view. What else could you want? What else could you want? Because while I really like eating Columbia Harbor House's salmon and Satuli Canteen's bowls with whatever I put in them, I always want to get chicken and I end up getting a bean. I can never decide. I like eating at those places, but nothing beats the view. And the beans! It's somewhere like La Cantina de San Angel. And I know I'm always talking about the beans. I know it's the cheapest protein-filling snack that you can get at the theme parks. But you know what? This place is shady. It's covered. It's Epcot. It's the perfect rest position and also the perfect restaurant for when you walk around Epcot and you're like, oh my Lord, I am very hungry and it's very hot. I need food now. I truly think this is just the best option because when you're sitting there, oh, you just get to take in the glory of Epcot while eating your little snack. Also, their menu is really good. They have like mac and cheese for a picky kid. They have like really good Mexican food. I just really think it's great. And they have queso. You know, I'm never gonna not go somewhere with queso. But it's not the only restaurant fulfilling this destiny. Flame Tree Barbecue at Disney's Animal Kingdom has unbelievable views. Yeah, Nomad Lounge is relaxing and nice and comfy, but it's hard to get in there now sometimes. You can just waltz up to Flame Tree Barbecue and get fancy French fries with a gorgeous view of the water and a view of Expedition Everest. I mean, we simply, by the way, we have to be appreciating Animal Kingdom for what they've given us. You heard AJ talk about it during our interview. Like, Animal Kingdom is unbelievable, and I just think we have to love it a little more. There was a tweet that I retweeted. I'm not re-Xing. There's no way to say that. There was a tweet that I retweeted at this point, like a week and a half ago, where someone was like, if they can get a nighttime show in there with drones, this park will be spectacular and perfect. And I just agree. I think Animal Kingdom is like 98% of the way there. Just needs a little more to push it over the edge to make it undeniably, like unequivocally the best theme park. Anyway, the view there, fantastic. Just a way to experience Disney without stressing about being anywhere at any certain time. You can just roll up, you can get food, and it's not going to be that long of a wait. I mean, you never really need to plan ahead to go to these places. There could be a wait, but it's not crushingly long, and I find that to be so special. An additional shout out to, I don't like to say it, Yorkshire. I once said Yorkshire, I think, and my British friends laughed at me. Yorkshire Country Fish Shop is another similar place. I always wind up in Mexico, so I don't always end up there. But also views, snacks, Epcot, glorious, glorious. You know what else I love that also requires no planning? Outdoor character meet and greets at Disney World and Disneyland. Because it just feels like the last glimpse of retro Disney we'll ever get. Seeing a character just out on the street with the commoners feels like you popped a VHS into your parents' TV and were watching your old theme park memories. I mean, truly, at a time when the international parks have hours-long waits for certain characters, Duffy and friends, please bring them here, Disney World somehow actually stuck to not having lightning lanes for character meets, which is incredible, by the way. I can't believe that they took that away. They're like, yeah, no more lightning lanes for that. Just roll up and see characters when you want. Like, they stuck to it, and they still do, and that's amazing. And there are plenty of character meets at Disneyland, which we're about to talk about in a second. But there is just something that is more magical about meeting a character al fresco. Like, seeing a princess rogue in the wild breathing the same humid air that we breathe as mere mortals is bananas. And yet, they're out here doing it every day on both coasts. It is straight up Disney magic, no planning required. I don't praise this enough, truly. Princesses in Epcot are particularly special, in my opinion, because they really, like, if you think about it with your theme park hat on, they kind of bridge the gap between, like, the real life inspiration for these pavilions and the stories, the fairy tales that they come from. It's like, it's reality and it's fantasy all in one. And I love that you can get the thrill of seeing a character even if you don't wait to meet them. It's just always a delight to go, oh, they're so-and-so, when you're just palling around Epcot. And at Disneyland, oh, brother, don't even get me started. What an incredible way to experience characters at a theme park. The amount of characters, and I'm talking random rare characters, I've seen simply while parking my stroller outside of It's a Small World is wild. Why do I ever wait in line to meet Mickey Mouse inside Toontown when I can just see him on Main Street in natural lighting? I love seeing them in the wild. It's where the animals belong. And I love it so much. I mean, Disney World, you typically have to enter a building to meet Mickey and Minnie. But Disneyland, you just roll up anytime, basically before lunch, and everyone will be out. And then you can walk to Fantasyland and see more people. And then you can go over to DCA and, like, boom, they're there again. You can just, like, meet Goofy on your way to walk back to the parking garage to drive home. It is straight up magic. And just to really, really emphasize it for a second, as many of you know from social media, I bought a height chart, like a retro Disney World height chart, so that Pearl could measure her height, which was advised to me by many people when I posted, basically, well, let me start over. I posted a video and was like, oh my God, I have a toddler who now is awake and understands that rides are exciting and she wants to go on them, but she's not tall enough. Oh, what do I do, parents? What do I do? And they all were like, get a height chart, hang it up on the wall, and then you can measure their height and you can plan accordingly. Bought a height chart, Disney World height chart. Pearl, like, walks up to it, is obsessed with it, measures herself at least 3 times a day. But she is about 34 inches high, and it has this big, like, Disney World character collage on it. And so right where she puts her head is right where this big figure of the genie is from Aladdin. And she keeps being like, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? How do I see him? And it's like, girly, we've seen him parking our stroller. He's just been flopping around Disneyland. He's just there, just, you know, out in the street. And so I'm so excited to show her this, like, this character without planning, without any effort at Disneyland. Ugh, truly, the no plan character meet and greet is phenomenal and needs to stay forever. And while we're on the topic of deeply underrated things that bring you so much joy while you are out in the breeze, out in the world with absolutely no planning required at all, Casey's Corner outdoor tables with live music at Disney World and Refreshment Corner outdoor tables at Disneyland. It's just so Disney. It's so Disney. Sitting outside in one of these little retro spots, enjoying live music, maybe having some French fries, and they're playing piano all dang day at Magic Kingdom. Do you know they're playing hourly between 12 and 6? I didn't realize it was that often. The little chairs, the little decor, the ragtime music. Also, did you know you can make requests? I completely forgot about that. It's like somewhere in the, I feel like my 2018 brain was activated when I realized that. I mostly just sit there dumbfounded and I'm like, and I let all the kids make all the requests, but anyone can make a request. I would blank. It's very like Billy Eichner, name a woman for a dollar. I would not be able to think of a name or anything, but still, you can make requests. And these people are playing all day. And I just feel like so often online, Disney fans, when we're chatting, when we're talking about the parks in 2025, in this period of change and growth, we're like, Streetmosphere, don't take our performers away. Don't take them away. Because those are kind of soft costs. That's something the parks can cut without permanently affecting what is on the ground at the theme parks. But maybe we're not also praising the things we do have enough. And that is what I'm trying to do here today. Because while a coaster is fun, so much fun, I don't know, man, sitting and interacting with a talented musician as they're plunking out music is classic Disney at its finest. And you can enjoy it for truly no additional money unless you cave and get a hot dog or something like that, which is kind of inevitable. But you don't have to plan. You just show up. I mean, you can check a schedule, but you're not planning the stuff at home when you're making a grid about your trip. It's bliss. It is easy and it brings you so much Disney joy. It's the little things like that that I've really come to love the most as an annual pass holder. And honestly, the days that I spend just spending like 5 minutes or so, 10 minutes enjoying that, enjoying the space that I'm in instead of rushing between ride, those are the days that I leave the happiest. And it's just something I want to impart on others. Now, if you are headed to Disneyland, just know that the piano player is not listed on the main site. On Disney World, it's kind of listed as an attraction, but at Disneyland, it's on the schedule for entertainment. So it's listed as Main Street Piano Player, but there's times throughout the day you can check there when you go. And it's essentially the joy of listening to the Dapper Dans without getting your scalp burnt by the midday sun. We are going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with the rest of my non-guide guide to things that are so easy to see and do at Disney parks, but are high yield when it comes to joy. Stick around, we will be right back. I've been essentially living out of a suitcase this entire summer, and it has been tricky because I've identified that I have these holes in my wardrobe I can't seem to fill. I don't own black sandals. I don't own a dressy cardigan to go over a sundress. I don't even own said sundress for if I want to go from day to night, no matter where I am. And you know who has me covered across the entire spectrum of needs? Quince. Quince! Quince has truly everything. It has everything. We're talking chic cashmere and cotton sweaters starting at $40, washable silk tops, classic denim pants. I was looking at jeans on the website yesterday. Literally, this is not ad copy. I was on a plane and was like, ooh, Quince. They have these jeans that were $50 that were unreal. They're the type of jeans that you see on other people at the coffee shop and you're like, ugh, I wonder if I'll ever be that type of a lady. Quince gives you luxury without the markup because they work directly with top artisans and cut out the middlemen. Now, if we're talking shopping on the Quince website, I, again, went on the website yesterday and I was overwhelmed by how many tabs I had opened because they had everything I needed. They have these Italian leather cutout slide sandals. By the way, go to the bestsellers tab. That's how I found everything that I'm craving. They have these fantastic sandals in three different colors. I need brown and I need black. These Italian leather slides, $60. I mean, you can't beat it. It's like everything I need in the world to make sure that I can travel easily and have all my basics is all in one spot. And I love them for that. Quince really knows what they're doing. Quince really knows what they're doing. And there's a reason that I shop there on my own often. Often. Again, I've told you enough about the bike shorts, but they have plenty of other stuff I cannot wait to grab because the quality is incredible. I've known firsthand. I wear their stuff almost every day. The design is exactly what you're looking for. And if you also need that one item and you can't seem to find it, a black strappy sandal perhaps, Quince has got it and I literally have it in my cart. So elevate your wardrobe essentials with Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. A procrastinator's dream. quince.com/amusing.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Welcome back. We are starting strong in our second half of fantastic Disney things that require absolutely no planning. Because we are starting with Fantasmic at Disney's Hollywood Studios. And only at Disney's Hollywood Studios. I adore this show, but the absolute headache that it takes to see it at Disneyland is kind of a non-starter for me. I cannot sit crisscross applesauce surrounded by people for an hour waiting for a water show to begin. The way I feel is that I have not lived this long and spent this much money to be physically uncomfortable. Which, yes, I know the entire state of Florida refutes everything I was just saying, because I will go to Disney World. I'm going in the summer because it's hot everywhere. That's kind of my outlook with global warming. But when it comes to like sitting in that compact space, just sitting and waiting and waiting and waiting, I just don't want to do it. I just feel like if we are charging people to skip the line, if we are charging for convenience while also charging a pretty penny to go to these parks, I shouldn't be spending that time just sitting and waiting, holding a spot. I should be doing something. And whether it's, the debate of paying for a lightning lane or not, whether I'm dining, whether I'm in a ride or just enjoying the atmosphere, I should be doing something that feels enjoyable. And sitting and waiting and not moving and holding a spot does not feel enjoyable. It does not feel enjoyable. And I am here to enjoy myself. I'm here to put the vacation back in a Disney vacation. Okay? So I do not want to sit and hold a spot for a parade, but especially Fantasmic. I don't want to sit there. There's nothing to look at, and I don't want to do it. And Fantasmic is obviously very special at Disneyland. This is not a knock on that show. Though there have been changes to it that I don't entirely love, and we have not gotten into in depth. I saw it with my friend Jeffrey Epstein, friend of the podcast, comes up every week somehow. Hi, Jeffrey. But we saw it together, and I was kind of like, wait, I don't think I love these changes. But that's not what we're talking about now. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about Fantasmic at Disney's Hollywood Studios, which I ride for. It is a robust nighttime show at Walt Disney World that is easy to see with actual seating. Truly, like, I am seated for this. It could honestly be just a screening of like a promotional sizzle reel from the 90s playing on those water screens, and I'd still be like, wow, and a convenient concession stand? I'm here for Fantasmic. And I hope none of this makes me sound like I'm aging and like I did recently up my retinol use to nightly, because I wake up and my face is dry and my joints inexplicably hurt when I get out of bed, and they hurt until I walk 2 miles to like warm them up. I know I am aging, even though I am a younger person. This is not that perspective. This is just my perspective as someone who now more deeply understands the way we all visit the parks. I had a good number of years where I was going solo, doing whatever I wanted to do. And now I am visiting with a small person who takes up all my focus. I've seen both sides of it, and I've come to the conclusion that Fantasmic at Disney's Hollywood Studios offers everything you want out of a nighttime experience at Disney without any of the annoying parts. Let's call it what it is. A beautiful, magical evening performance that only requires you to, like, kinda get there early. You can be nearby and just go, oh, do you want to check out Fantasmic tonight? And walk over and you are good. No fuss. No planning, no Main Street putting out a blanket and sitting holding those spots for 2 hours, no being shoved in a little corral on Main Street, no pushing your way out of the hub wondering if you will ever actually make it out. Ah! And I know I sound like an old fuddy-duddy right now, but return on investment is so important to me at this point in travel planning. In 2025, when trips cost money, when the heat saps your energy, when there's so much going on and we all need a break from the world, the ROI of Fantasmic delivers. And I'm saying that as someone who clowned on this show for years. But the truth is, Epcot's current nighttime show doesn't totally wow me, and Disney's Animal Kingdom has nada at nightfall when it comes to an actual nighttime performance. So we gotta love what we got. Not having to plan at all or experience discomfort to see this show is heaven to me. Bench seating isn't great, and they do like shove way too many people in those rows, but pro tip, when I go, or when I've been in the past probably 3 visits, we go and we're like, oh, we'll just sit in like the back, empty spot, because everyone's trying to get front. Everyone's trying to get up close to see the characters. We sit in the back in my experience, and I'm sure it fills at busy times, that area doesn't really get filled. And then you have like a, you know, your view is a little bit worse, but you have room and you are free. And when I am there with a child, that is the ideal place to go. Speaking of easy to do things that require no planning, Disneyland's Fantasyland. Oh, the gem, the golden option for not planning and having a great day. Can we just talk about how lucky we are that this was built so tiny, that there's legitimately no infrastructure or room to add Lightning Lane? It is bananas that we have a Peter Pan attraction and a core American Disney theme park that has no way to pay to skip the line because they can't. They can't. You can't. There's no room for it. You just have to wait like it's a carnival in 1992. It is amazing. And while the rides are quaint and it sometimes feels like they were built out of cardboard, Disneyland's Fantasyland is kind of the equivalent of ordering a bunch of sides for dinner. You do a little bit of this and a little bit of that and then some of that, and you really feel like you did a lot on your day. And I know we all get really amped about thrill rides and the most in-demand attractions and the newest thing and the newest restaurant. I'm the same way. It's my job to cover the new stuff. I'm very new focused. But the truth is, when it comes to a Disney trip, sometimes it's quantity over quality. Sometimes it's ease over effort. And the fact that Fantasyland at Disneyland is like locked in time here is brilliant and easy and glorious. I mean, no matter what changes in the way we visit these parks, it's gonna be easy forever. Forever! They can take away the Skyway, they can take away the People Mover, but Disneyland, Fantasyland is forever. I mean, when you come to that area, you can just access the parks the way you were supposed to years ago. And it is perfection. Walking through that land a little harder, a little more challenging. There are strollers everywhere. But generally speaking, when it comes to packing a lot of punch in a small area and experiencing different rides and things without having to plan or check a schedule or do anything beyond physically going to the line, it is ease at its finest. Another easy place that I gotta keep on your radar, a spot I gotta plug, Muppets Dining at Regal Eagle Smokehouse in the American Adventure Pavilion at Epcot. Do I like it here? Not particularly. Is the re-theme good? Not quite. Could use a lot more Muppets. But will I spend my money here going forward? Yeah, because it is the only permanent presence of the Muppets at Disney World at the moment. And as nauseating as it is to say that, it's true. Now, I don't really like a pulled meat, but I will learn to love meat to keep this place thriving. And while we will be getting a Muppets coaster, I know we better be getting the best exit for the gift shop we've ever seen. Truly, we need more Muppets merch. Give us more Muppets. Give us more Muppets. But if we currently don't have Muppets in a permanent way, if I have to eat some burnt ends to feel like I am close to my favorite franchise of characters, so be it. I will do it. Now, I want to quickly pause and, I guess, break form of the episode to give a few shout-outs to places that did not quite make it on the list. Like Affection Section at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Because Disney World still has a petting zoo somehow, and I just think we need to mention it once a year. Just casually need to be like, y'all remember there's a petting zoo back there? I don't go there. I don't know why. I guess because you have to take a train. It's kind of like Coney Island when you live in New York. You're like, one day I'll go there. Yeah, I know the hot dog's cool, but you never actually make it there that often. To me, that is this section of Disney's Animal Kingdom. But if you're in Animal Kingdom in the next year and you're like, oh, Boneyard's closed. Oh, like these walls are up. What should we do? Don't forget about it. Why not hug a goat? Why not? We've also got the unmentionables, like Country Bear Musical Jamboree and People Mover. You know, the most preach to the choir stuff we've ever dealt with here. If you listen to this podcast, you probably love one of those, if not both. But also, People Mover, like, rarely is there a way to experience a thrill ride as someone who isn't riding it. Like, young, short, older, people who get ill on rides. Like, no matter who you are, if you're scared of them, no matter what, you can pass on through Space Mountain. Isn't that fun? Gives you a little teaser of the land. I just think it's really neat. But also, we all know that, so we don't need to talk about People Mover today. Still, there is one attraction that is hanging on there that goes almost entirely undiscussed. There is one we do not talk about enough and is perhaps the only thrill ride you do not need to at least think about any plans for at all. And that is Star Tours. Yeah, I'm really like an emerging Star Tours stan after all these years. Something about after Galaxy's Edge opened, I just started to appreciate Star Tours a little more and a little more and a little more. I mean, I'm not voluntarily going on Millennium Falcon until they change the story or until they change the fact that a stranger can control how your entire ride vehicle moves. And I love Rise of the Resistance, but it's a doozy to get on and requires, so much planning. But Star Tours? It's perhaps the easiest thrill ride to get on at a Disney park. Okay, I'm actually looking it up, and Thrill Data says it is on average at Disney World, Star Tours at Disney World, a thrill ride at Disney World, on average, 12-minute wait for a thrill ride that is continually refreshed. I mean, it is just a clutch ride to pop on whenever you're like at Disney's Hollywood Studios. You're like, what should we do? Just go wait in line. Just go wait in line. Boom, you'll be out of Star Tours momentarily. And while there are plenty of things I could add on this list, mostly me walking in a circle eating caramel corn from Werther's, there is one last thing we need to discuss when it comes to like an actual attraction that's pretty good that you should keep in your arsenal on those days where you have time to fill. And that, last but not least, is Journey of Water inspired by Moana. You know, nobody is out here designing for global warming, and I have to tip my cap to Disney when they actually do something about it. The entire area surrounding it, when they reopened it, they perhaps forgot it was located in Florida, but here, Journey of Water, they remembered that people are boiling hot and need to cool off in a scenic, beautiful way. They really delivered on this one, and I had my qualms. I did not anticipate that I would be supporting this well after it opened, but now as a mom, I can recognize that when the playground at Epcot is so hot to the touch it's dangerous, and you have a kid who like desperately needs to run around and cool off, the, concrete expanse of four parks with little to no shade is just not doing it. And Journey is so clutch. Splash pads, for people who don't frequent these spots, they're so ugh to me. I don't like them. Outside of a swimming environment, like if we're at the pool and there's a splash area, fine, it's in the wheelhouse. But if I'm in like regular clothes and I have a backpack with electronics, I don't want to be like, you know, in sneakers trying to navigate not getting wet while my child wants to pummel herself with blaster level explosions of water. I just don't prefer it. But here, Journey of Water, it's truly for all ages, for all people, because it's beautiful and it's interactive and you don't have to get soaked. But if you want to, you can. They have that too. I originally was not too down with this idea and even its placement felt a little weird, but being there in Epcot in that area just feels like an exhale. And I hope you agree with me too. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It really came out of me figuring out what I was going to do on my upcoming Disney trip and realizing I only wanted to keep things chill. I wanted to keep things very chill and very light. And I realized I had this hit list of things I do on both coasts on those days when I don't have many plans. And many of the things that I like to do are the things that I just told you about. And I know we're all biased towards new things, towards the big intense thrill rides. I get it. But truthfully, the memories I keep racking up, the photos, the videos, the moments I shared with friends and family, they just end up being in these places. They all come from me just being there. And I want to make sure I emphasize that because there is so much that you can spend money on your trip to get lightning lanes and to park hop constantly and to kind of upsell and do as much as you can, which is my default. And I recognize that. But also just being there, just walking around, experiencing the atmosphere, hearing a live musician, being able to walk right into something. That ease is something that I do think can factor into you having a wonderful trip so hugely and importantly. It was lovely to chat with you about this. If you have any thoughts or anything else I might have left out that you love to do on a casual day, casual Disney day at either park, please let me know. Call into the Churros hotline. And I hope this, you know, made your next Disney trip a little more calm. Just a little calm. We deserve it. We're going on vacation. We shouldn't come back from vacation being like, well, I need a vacation. Even though Disney is fun and I like to do that. They should just have a little chill. You know, like the park equivalent of going to the hotel to swim. That's the energy I want while I'm at the park. It's the energy I want while I'm at the park. And these things, they really deliver. They do. Welcome Welcome back, Becky.
As if we didn't have enough already to talk about.
This is the reward for listening this far in the episode, is that you're getting an exclusive discount, like truly an exclusive discount. And if you wanted to go to Epic Universe, you're going to get an exclusive discount.
Exactly. So we have at MEI Travel, we have access to an offer that's not available anywhere else. It's a special thing through our consortia, and it's incredible. You can save up to $100 on a 2-night or longer stay at many of the participating hotels. And it's for booking window through August 31st, for a travel window of August 1st, which is right around the corner now, all the way up to December 31st, 2026.
What?
I know.
Wait. So this discount, which also like a 2-night minimum, $100 discount, wild. But this lasts through HHN this year, HHN next year. And also, if you were like, I want to go to Epic Universe when the weather's cooler, or I want to go to Epic Universe when it's not as like new and I want to wait a little, you can benefit from this discount offer all the way through the end of next year.
Absolutely. You just have to book it by August 31st of this year. And this applies to the Create Your Own Vacation package that we put together for you, which includes the hotels and the tickets. So it's really, really, really amazing to get a $100 discount off of that, especially when if you're just going for 2 nights, $100 off 2 nights.
Oh, my God. Also, a great amount of time to add on to a trip. If you were primarily doing Disney World, you can add this on either end and save money while doing it.
Absolutely. So, of course, the total amount of that discount is going to be based on the hotel you choose. So it's up to $100 off of a 2-night stay.
Wow.
I know. Fantastic. And I'm sure we'll have more because we're really focusing on Universal this year because, the feedback is in. People are loving it. And I can't wait to see what's going to come around the corner for that one.
Oh, my gosh. Now, can you refresh my memory of the Disneyland discounts? Because I know they still are going strong.
Yes. As a matter of fact, they also have that save up to 20% off select stays at the 3 hotels now. So the Grand Californian, the Disneyland Hotel, or the Villas Disneyland Hotel, you can save up to 20%. Ooh. That is from August 17th for stays all the way through December 19th. So you can book that now through December 16th or so, but your travel must be completed by December 20th.
Becky, thank you so much for this. I cannot wait to see you on Royal Caribbean. We are going on Star of the Seas very soon. We're so stoked.
I am so excited for that too, because that is my favorite ship class anywhere, anytime right now. So we're going to see each other. But speaking of Royal Caribbean really quickly, I got one more for you.
Of course. Of course, in your bag of discounts.
This is another my crazy Mary Poppins bag of discounts. This one is real. It's another exclusive only available through us, that if you book a Royal Caribbean cruise through August 31st on a select sailings in a balcony or suite category, we will give you a free specialty dining for two added to your package. So that's a great value because it could be up to, $100, $125 of value right there.
Yeah, and it's free just by booking with you guys.
Exactly, especially ones that if the rates go down, we apply the savings, so you're price protected essentially up until final payment. So there's all kinds of services that we provide for you to make sure you get the best value out of your vacation, but our services are free to you, so there's no additional cost.
See, this is why we love you. This is why I love you, Becky.
I love you back.
See you soon, girl.
See you real soon.
Carly, this is Ryan in Bellevue, Nebraska, and I have got an Epic Universe question for you. So my family and I are going down in mid-December to attend the Orlando Informer meetup event. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's like an after-hours thing at the two original parks. It's amazing. So that's the main focus of our trip, but we are flying down, so that's Friday and Saturday evenings. We're going to fly down on Wednesday and go to Epic on Thursday. Spend all day there, really hit it hard as much as we can, just with the understanding we're not going to get everything done. My question to you is, should we add on Express for Thursday and still just attend that day, or no Express but attend all day on Thursday? And then also buy a ticket for Friday, but knowing we would have to leave the park at around 1, maybe 2 p.m. to go get ready for the Orlando Informer
meetup event. I'm kind of torn. I think right now I'm leaning towards Express. And like I said, just hit it hard on Thursday, do as much as we can, and just know that we'll be back one day. And, you know, I feel like that might be a better value versus paying for a full park ticket for Friday and leaving early. But let me know your thoughts. I'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
This is the kind of strategy I live for, Ryan. Deciding between a day and a half at Epic Universe and a day with skip the line privileges is like, it's like the perfect SAT question for my brain. But to even start this conversation, we have to first discuss pricing. On the exact dates that you're going, that Thursday will be $159 for a ticket to Epic Universe. The Friday, that day you think you might add, is $174 per person. You also, sidebar, can't get multi-day tickets to Epic Universe. Like, even if you want a five-day ticket to Universal Orlando, it'll only give you one day at Epic Universe. Let the people in! Let the people in. Now, those are the different prices for hard tickets. Express Pass is pricey. It is going to be $200 per person per day on top of your park admission. Have they seen the economy? $200? Now, in the situation you're in, the price for Express Pass is pretty comparable to the price of an additional day ticket. Now, to let everyone know, I reached out to this caller to ask who they were traveling with, young children, old children, a bunch of adults, to try to see what the situation was. And they are traveling with two teens who love thrill rides. So in your situation, what I would recommend is to indeed purchase the Express. Because while it is $25 more than a second ticket, also wild that you can either skip the line or spend an entire day at a theme park, I guess it's just how it is now, it will ensure that you get more done in that first day than you may have even gotten done over a day and a half. But here's what I want you to keep in mind if you do this. Express is not a guarantee that everything will go perfectly. A lot of outdoor rides can close in inclement weather, especially if there's lightning. So you're going in December, which is good. You should be pretty okay. You're not in the rain zone that we're currently in. But make sure to check the forecast. And if you are facing a similar dilemma with ticketing, make sure that you prioritize the best outdoor thrill rides, which are Stardust Racers and Hiccup's Winged Gliders, accordingly. So if anyone's listening to this, if you're traveling during a time when it might rain, there might be lightning, there might be thunder, make sure to prioritize the outdoor rides so that you can get on them. By the way, though, Stardust is better at night, so if the weather is fine, I would try to save that for then. Another thing we have to discuss. Express does not work on the new Harry Potter Ministry of Magic attraction. Kind of bogus for $200. It should. Honestly, it should. But it doesn't at this moment in time. I am not the go-to person for strategy about how to wait in line for that ride because one, I've been on it once. I've been to this place once. And two, I don't care about it. I'm never going to be recommending you spend hours waiting in line if that's what the situation is. But what I will recommend for you, especially because your trip is in December, you know, that's many months away, I would check closer to your visit for any updated strategy about when you should probably get in line for the shortest line possible. If your visit wasn't as like gung-ho about thrill rides and more about experiencing the parks, I would have said to do 2 days, luxuriate around, hang out. I am actually, spoiler alert, I am going back to Epic Universe sometime soon. I'm not going to tell you when, but it's better soon. And I am planning to do just that, to see what it's like to go there and not do all the thrill rides and see if it really is worth the ticket price. Because a lot of people, you know, people who don't go on these big intense rides or even people with children who aren't tall enough to go on them will be experiencing Epic Universe in a very, very different way from the standard guest. So I'm very excited to check out what that is like. If that is the type of trip you're going on, I would not be recommending Express. But because you are pretty focused on rides, like y'all are in it, you want to do it. I think because you are open to paying more and you're deciding between the two, my call would be to pay for Express and then you can relax and recover the next day before your Orlando Informer events, which by the way, I've never been to, but they sound fantastic. Have so much fun. Oh, December. Oh my gosh. To be in Dark Universe, to be there when it's coldish. Ooh, I'm so jealous. Have so much fun and let me know how the trip goes. That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening to this, another chaotic episode of Very Amusing. As you all know, if you listen to this show, you can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts. You can rate and follow us on Spotify, and I just figured out how to respond to comments on Spotify, so keep them coming if you end up doing that. It's not really like a place people comment much, but when they do come through, I really enjoy it because now they send an email and they're like, write back to your commenters. Now I have a way to do it. I don't understand the back end of these platforms. Up until the point the audio goes in, that's me. And then after that, I don't really know what happens. You can give us a call at 747-TRUES. Truly, about anything. If you think the things I said in the podcast are wrong, let me have it. And I know like picking up the phone is annoying and weird, but just to let you know, if you leave a message and you're like, well, I gotta go, and you record a new one, it's totally fine. I am not judging you. I completely understand. I have left messages on other people's podcasts, like voicemail services, and it was uncomfortable and scary and like made me sweat through my clothes. So don't worry. People leave multiple calls all the time. I'd say like every week and a half, there's someone who calls 2 to 3 times. Not the same person. I mean, like someone will call in and then call in again and be like, not this one. I'm gonna do it again. And it's totally fine. Don't feel weird about it. Don't let that keep you from like asking your burning question. It's totally fine. And I listen to the most recent one first. So I usually don't even hear the one if you have to abandon it. It's totally fine. Give us a call. 747-TRUES. We love to hear from you. If you are thinking about planning any sort of theme park trip, reach out to Mouse Fan Travel. As you know from our segment on the podcast, there's deals. There's a lot going on, and they can help find the best price for your trip. Even do stuff, which I think is incredible. They'll do stuff like, if you move your trip 2 days this way, you'll save X amount of dollars. Or if you do this, you'll be eligible for this discount. I find that to be so helpful because that is so tricky to do on your own. And I have tried to look for different dates. And what if I change this? Will I hit this offer? And what if I do this? Will I get this discount? It's so confusing on Disney's website. A professional and Mouse Fan Travel will help you out for free. They will not charge you for their services and make booking a vacation a breeze. So head to mousefantravel.com/amusing. They support this podcast. They help keep it coming out every week. We love them. We thank them. And I'm hanging out with Becky in a few weeks. I'm so excited. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet and join the FOMALY at facebook.com/group/Carly Wiesel. Teachers and people who love them, definitely join the FOMALY and hit up the FOMALY right now because it is back to school season and we always really do a big push to get all those teacher wish lists filled. I think that's the best way to say it. Yeah, classroom wish lists fulfilled. I'm holding a beat on, I usually like to select as many things as possible from as many lists as possible, and I'm waiting until the word is out that it's up because I know schools start a little later, but please, please, please share your links there so everyone can pitch in. And if you have like truly 10, 20 bucks to spare, please go on there and buy some crayons, buy some room stuff. It really makes a huge difference to all the wonderful, wonderful educators and professionals out there. We love you. We see you. We adore you. And we love to make your classrooms a place of joy. Subscribe to my Instagram, 99 cents a month. You're getting a lot of posts. I'm posting on there a lot. I post a lot when I travel. I will definitely be doing some recap posts on there, which are exclusive to subscribers, about Disney World and about the cruise I'm going on. So check it out, 99 cents a month. It's really fun. I really enjoy it. It's like the easiest, calmest version of any like pay for access thing. Patreon, we did it once. It wasn't a flop. I mean, it was actually extremely successful, but I didn't like the platform. I didn't like it. And I didn't like doing an extra podcast. It just felt like I was kind of throwing stuff at you. Here, fantastic. I love it. I post stories all day. I'm posting almost every day to subscribers. It's really fun. And if you've been on the fence about it, just try it. You can always like unsubscribe. I mean, I hope you don't. I hope you like it enough, but you know, just the options there. This episode was edited bombastically by Jeff Fox. Can you believe we haven't used that word yet? Bombastically? Perfect. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hey, honey, it's Mom. I'm so sorry. I texted you during your taping a very amusing oopsie. I'm so, so sorry. I have to say, even though a few people disagreed with your hotel choices, they were very polite. They were very respectful. You have a great, very amusing audience. You really do. Linda from Texas, you are so adorable. How fun if we met you. I just wanted you to know that I also get excited to meet Carly's very amusing listeners. And don't get alarmed if I meet you and hug you. I give everyone hugs. I hope we see you in the parks, and if we don't, I hope to possibly meet you on the trip. I hope I say this right. Amuzapalooza, right? The Amuzapalooza trip. If you are going, I hope you're going. If you're going, it'll be the greatest trip ever. I can't wait to meet everyone. Great episode, honey. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl. Bye-bye.